Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
You know, as we come to 2025, there's perspective, isn't there? 2025, you enter, and no doubt there's discrepancies from where we wanted life to be and where it might be. No doubt there's challenges. Maybe there's things that have come up in our life that were unexpected. Maybe in the communities we work within, we can see challenges. We've heard about what's happening in Ukraine as well. What I have a conviction about is that when we come to the scriptures that point us to Jesus, that it will always stir faith in our hearts again, no matter where we find ourselves. And so as we come to the scriptures this morning for a brief time, we're going to go to a moment found in John 9. And I'm really believing that God's going to encourage our hearts with faith, whether things are going well into 2025 or whether there is some bumps that we're already feeling, that when we come to Jesus, we find that He is with us in the midst and there's strength to go on and walk through those situations. So with that, we're going to go to John 9. And to set the context, John 9 is a moment recorded by John, an account of when Jesus heals a man born blind from birth, experiencing his own darkness, born blind from birth. When you're born blind from birth, one, not only can you not see physically, but two, in that society, you were deemed an outcast, ostracized, despised. You were not part of community. You were looked down on. And so this man had had that all his life. Not only that, the disciples, to set the context, they ask when they see this man with Jesus, who sinned that this man was born blind from birth? Did his parents sin or did him? This was a common question, a common belief in that time, in that culture, that must be why. One of those two reasons. So it's a culture of shame and blame, this darkness that he lived. And yet Jesus comes into this moment. He sees the man that no one else sees. He comes to the man that no one else comes to. He shuts down the questions of the disciples that had come at this man over his whole life, and he performs a miracle. The man born blind sees light into darkness. Imagine the jubilation in his heart. Imagine the sense of hope of what now is possible, because the thing that was separating him from society now was no longer there. He could enter. Imagine the opportunities he would have felt in his heart that could be his. And you would imagine that those around him would be rejoicing, his parents, his neighbors. But what we're about to read is that something quite different happens. And so we're going to join in verse 7. "Go," Jesus says, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. It's important to note that Jesus was not at the pool and was not at that moment when the man saw. He'd never seen Jesus physically. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. What happens next? His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging, asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus." He hasn't actually met him properly. He hasn't seen him yet. "Made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. So then they brought him to the Pharisees, Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him, How have you received sight?" "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man's not from God, for he did this on the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Verse 17, then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes that he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." So he's no longer the man that they talk about. He's a prophet in his eyes now. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Can you imagine this experience? Like this miraculous thing I've never been able to see. And it's like second guessing. Is this really? Are you really this person? What's going on here? So they get the parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know that he was born blind, but how he can see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself. And then John gives us a little subtext there. They're actually afraid. His parents said this because they're afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said he is of age. Ask him. So a second time, they summon the man who was blind and they say, give glory to God by telling the truth. Essentially, it's saying, you better tell the truth or something bad's going to happen to you, buddy. And they said, we know this man is a sinner. And he replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I've already told you this, and you don't listen. Why do you want, can you get the escalation here? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now this is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could not do such things. To this they replied, and this is like the antithesis of the antagonism. They replied, you were steeped in sin from birth, the same thing that the disciples asked at the beginning. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out of the temple. And I love this. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? Because remember, he's never physically seen Jesus. Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him with your physical eyes. In fact, he is the one speaking to you. The man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped. What a story. What an account. Like, this is a drama right here, and it just keeps escalating. This is the man born blind from birth and yet has been healed. As an adult, once again, imagine putting yourself in his shoes. He can now see colors. He can see shape. He can see the face that of the voice that he's heard so often. And now he puts the face to him. He says, I never thought you'd look like that with the way you sounded. He can see all of this. And not only that, he now has this opportunity, this hope that he can be brought back into society. And yet, what happens in that moment of joy and jubilation where you've encountered God? Opposition comes, challenge comes, storms, as it were, comes. This man faced the storm of religion, as it were, trying to take away what God had done. It's done on the Sabbath. It's rules over relationship. He faced the opposition and the storm of fear that can come when we're in those situations, fear arising in their hearts. He faced the opposition of being taken back to the words and the position of his past before Christ. You're steeped in sin from birth. It's because of you that you sinned. And they try to take him back and take what God has done out of his life. He faced the opposition of isolation again, thinking I could never go to the temple, the place where people at that time thought God was. And yet now his eyes are healed. He can go to the temple and then he's thrown out of the very place he thought he could go. The opposition, the challenge of isolation that can come to try and take that thing away. And did you notice he also faced the opposition, or put it this way, did you notice that it appeared that Jesus disappeared? That actually from verse 5 of chapter 9 to verse 35, right through all that opposition, we hear nothing of Jesus. It appeared that Jesus had disappeared. When those storms come up, when those challenges come, the level of darkness, whatever we walk into, we know in those moments that it's so tempting to say, Jesus, where are you? It appears that you've disappeared. And yet through all of that, his faith grew. He leant in rather than leant away. He didn't let it shrink him back, but his faith grew. It matters because it reminds us of a couple of things. One, that the path of following Jesus is not the path of least resistance, but it is the path that leads to true life. It reminds us also that the path of following Jesus is not the path of no trouble, but is the path where we learn that when we walk through moments of trouble, that we can take heart because he has overcome the world. He is light. Maybe you're coming into 2025, as I said, and it is going well. Good. There's some keys here for you. Maybe you're coming into 2025 and there are challenges within your workplace, within your family. There's storms, as it were, that you're facing. There's this discrepancy between what I thought life would be like right now and what it is. How do we walk through that? I believe there are two keys here in John chapter 9. The first is when those storms arise, when those situations come, pray, God, open my eyes to see. Open the eyes of my heart to see. Let me explain. How many know there's a difference between seeing and seeing? I can't count the number of times that I've been looking for something in the fridge or in the cupboard or in the garage, and or even yesterday when Liz and I were at the shops and I'm saying to Liz, that thing is not there. I am looking. It's not there. And she's like, it is there. And then she comes over and within half a second, there it is. I was seeing but not seeing. Now, what is going on there? There's a proportion, a cohort of this group knows exactly what's going on. I'm having a guy look. But what is going on there? I am seeing, but I actually have blind spots and I need someone to come and reveal to me and help open my eyes to see those blind spots. So often in my life, that's Liz. And I am grateful. Did you notice this man received not just one miracle, but two miracles? And the second I would suggest is the greater. John is very deliberate in how he reveals this because he's making a bigger point than Jesus can heal the physically blind. He's making a point that Jesus opens the eyes of our heart to truly see our blind spots of who he is. Follow the path that John lays out. When he's first asked this man, who is it that healed you by his neighbors? He says, it's that man called Jesus. Have you been there where you hear about Jesus? You hear others talking about it. You hear them going and you're thinking, what is this about? But it's that man they call Jesus. You can't fully see. The eyes of your heart are not fully open. It's blurry, but he's that man. And then notice he progresses to the religious leaders and they ask him, who is it that healed you? And he says, he is a prophet. So he's no longer the man called Jesus. His eyes are starting to open a little more. He's a prophet. He's a good man. He's a spiritual man. He's someone to pay attention to. But then notice when he's asked again, how did he heal him? He says, well, he must be from God. So now he's not that man or the prophet. He must be from God. The eyes of his heart are starting to open a little bit more. It's a blurry still, but I can see Jesus a little more in my situation. And then when Jesus comes to him, standing before him physically, but yet he had not seen him physically, he says, who is he? I want to believe. His eyes are open to a level where he's seeing Jesus in such a way that he wants to believe. And Jesus says, the one standing before you. And in that moment, he says, yes, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. The miracle of the eyes of his heart opening to see Jesus was done. When we face those situations of storm, of challenge, when we're walking through darkness, I would encourage us, pray, God, open my eyes to see what I cannot see yet. This man's eyes opened when we did not hear anything. It appeared that Jesus had disappeared. But did you notice, and this matters because it reminds us that Jesus is always at work. Never underestimate what he's doing in a life, in a situation. Though we can't see it, what we can pray is, God, open my eyes to see you more clearly. I've found when I'm walking through those storm moments that what I need is not necessarily, what I want is not necessarily what I need. I want that situation changed in an instant. But what I've learned is that actually in these moments, Jesus first wants to reveal more of who he is, who the Father is, who the Holy Spirit is. Because when I get a bigger picture and a clearer picture of who he is, it changes how I then walk through those situations. Paul would pray it like this in Ephesians 1 when he's praying for the believers. He says, verse 17 of chapter 1 in Ephesians. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or opened in order that you would know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable power for us who believe. For our eyes to be open is not more information. We need the spirit of revelation to come. We've got enough information in this world. We live in the information age. What we need in these moments is a revelation that only the Spirit can bring to open our eyes and reveal Jesus a little more in the midst of our situations. It changes how we walk through. So when you find yourself, and maybe you're there in the midst of hardships, in the midst of storms, in the midst of those situations that seem dark, pray. God, open the eyes of my heart. It is the greater miracle I would suggest that this man received. And there have been many times in my life for Liz and I where we've done that and it's shifted our perspective. It's shifted our faith. It's stirred our faith. It's meant, oh, we're going to lean in because we see you more clearly, God. Thank you, Spirit of Revelation. You've helped me to know him better. Pray, open the eyes of my heart. But the other thing we see, and I'm going to invite the team up. The other thing we see is that actually, when we're in the storms, when we're in those dark moments, when we find ourselves where God has done something amazing, and then suddenly we find where there's resistance that we're walking through, that not only do we pray, God, open the eyes of my heart, but a key we see here is actually to focus on what we do know. Focus on what we do know. Have you noticed when situations come into our lives that are difficult, that we tend to begin to focus on the things we don't know, on the negative things that are around us, rather than on the positive and the things we do know? Did you notice this man in verse 25? He's being asked, who is this man that healed you? Again, he's being asked that. And did you notice that there's a lot of things he does not know about Jesus and the situation? But he says this, he says, whether he is a sinner, that is Jesus, or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. In other words, he's saying, there's a whole lot I don't get. It appears that Jesus has disappeared. It appears that there is nothing that makes sense about why I'm experiencing this because God did this in my life. Why is this happening? He says, there's a lot I don't know, but one thing I do know. I'm going to focus on what I do know. I was blind, but now I see. I think sometimes we get too caught up in the things we don't know that actually it causes us to stagnate or just pause. And in those moments, my encouragement is, what do you know about God in that moment? What was he doing in that moment? He was reminding himself of his God story, of his testimony, of God's work in his life. I don't know about you, but it's very easy, I find, to forget what God has done in my life and be consumed with my present. But Scripture actually says more than 500 times, remember, remember, remember God's work in your life. Remember what Jesus has done on the cross. Remember what he has done in the mundane. Remember what God has done in the mundane of your life. Remember what God has done on the watershed moments of your life. Remember, remember, remember. 500 plus times it tells us to do that. The Israelites would set up memorials and altars that God would instruct them to as a form of reminding themselves of where God has acted in their behalf, on their behalf in the past. And it's not remember nostalgically. Like, you know how you remember those holidays of the past or those happy moments or those the good old days? It's not remember nostalgically, but it's remember in such a way that it would stir faith in your heart and release the power of God again to for your present that you face. What do you know? Remember your this I though moments, your God stories. What are your God stories? Maybe you have never started your journey with God before, and so you're like, what's my God story? I would encourage you, like this man, Jesus found him. He didn't find Jesus. Jesus came to him. And even today, Jesus is coming to you wherever you are. And he's saying, I'd love to start this journey of walking with you and revealing who I am. But for many in this place and at Sanford and Sandgate, do you remember your God stories? Do you remember those moments where God has acted on your behalf? And would you, in remembering them, let them stir in your heart a remembering of what you know and shift you from what you don't know, the questions you're asking, to what you do know about God? And let that stir. There's something about the declaration and the remembering of our word, of our testimony, that helps us overcome, that releases faith into our lives, that releases the power of God. So that when fear comes, we remember our testimony and it stirs the antidote of fear, which is faith in our lives. So that when we get those words of our past that try to put us back where we were because of this situation, well, this is always how it's going to be. This is actually my life. I thought God was doing. No, let your testimony stir in you and the testimony of others, again, of faith, that God is actually doing something different. He's moving you forward through those storms. If you're feeling like you're being tempted or being drawn to be isolated from people, remember that he is there with you and there is a community that will look to walk with you. Let your testimony remind you of that. And when it feels like Jesus has disappeared, he's appeared to disappear, I've found it's in those moments it's most important that I focus on what I do know. Remember God's acts in my life. Let it stir faith in my heart. So when we come to 2025, whatever we find ourselves, knowing that the path of following Jesus isn't about the path of least resistance, it isn't about the path of no trouble, but it is learning that it is the path to true life, that it is the path that we learn to cast our cares on him, to trust him, knowing that he has overcome the world. He reigns, as Wayne said, he reigns above, he is Lord of history. He is Lord of our lives. We can trust him. Maybe you're there right now, and I want to encourage you. Remember what Jesus did at the end of this narrative we read. When he heard that this man had been kicked out of the temple, he went and found him. Jesus always takes the initiative. And he went and found him. Probably in the back locks of a street. It reminds us that there's no place we can find ourselves. Even today, you might find yourself in a place that is dark, that is heavy, and you're like, I can't see which way is up. There's no place we can find ourselves that he cannot find us and begin to walk through the storm and lead us to places of life. So I want to encourage you with that. And so we're going to pray this morning that God, for all of us, you would open the eyes of our heart a little more to see you. That you would help us remember the moments of your acts in our lives that maybe we've even forgotten and are not even in our recollection. Bring them back to our fore and let them stir faith as we walk forward into 2025 and what is before us. So with that, I'm going to invite you to stand. At Sandgate in Sanford, please stand, join with us. I really felt like Holy Spirit wanted to encourage our hearts, wanted to lift us up, wanted to build us up in our faith. And so right now, as I said earlier with Wayne and Olya, would you open your hearts now to what God could do in this moment? So Lord, right now, with open hearts, open hands, open lives, no matter where we find ourselves as individuals and as a community, Lord God, be it the darkest of darkest places or where there is light shining all around, Lord God, we pray in this moment, would you open the eyes of our heart to see you more clearly, that we would know you more dearly, that we would have a revelation of the hope that you have placed before us, a revelation of the inheritance that you have for your children, that is capacity to walk forward with faith. And we have a revelation of the incomparable power that is for those who believe in the midst of every situation that we walk. Lord, we know that this is not just for us, but this is so that your light will continue to go forward. And so, Lord, into every impossible seemingly impossible situation. I pray and ask, Lord, you would bring faith to rise in the hearts of your people. Remind us of your acts in the past and let it stir faith for the future, that what was can be again, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are faithful, Lord God. And so right now, bring that to our recollection in all locations. Let faith rise in the hearts of your people. We look to you, our Lord, not to our situations, trusting you even when there's resistance, even when there's trouble. Let our hearts trust you, knowing you overcome the world. You are the Lord of history. You are the Lord of our life. We thank you, God.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.